Welcome back.
Welcome
to Phenomenal Flicks.
Today I am reviewing Bill and Ted Face the Music, starring Alex Winter, Keanu Reeves, Kristen Schaal, Samara Weaving, Bridget Lundy Payne, Anthony Carrigan, and William Sadler, directed by Dean Parasot. And as always, on a weekend and release film, I will not be doing spoilers for this review.
We're finally here, the long journey, or adventure if you will, to the third installment of the Bill and Ted franchise. It has arrived 29 years after we last saw these two lovable idiots on screen together. After years, and I mean literal years, of talks, interviews, scripts being written, production issues, the film finally began filming in 2019 for a 2020 release date. It seems like I mentioned the worldwide pandemic we're currently trucking through on every episode, but shocker, it has prohibited this film from seeing a release date for some time. It had an original August release date, then it was pushed forward by a couple weeks, then pushed back again. It's kind of the world we live in now. However, they did decide on just a video-on-demand release date. Now, be prepared. Much like The King of Staten Island, the film does cost $20 to rent. For casual fans, maybe it isn't worth it. For diehard fans, however, I think the price is most worth it. So where are our two most bodacious heroes after 29 years? They must be famous after we last saw them in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, rocking out to Kiss's God Gave Rock and Roll to You, Part 2. Drowning in money, drowning in notoriety, and probably drowning in women as any good rock star does, right? Well, not quite. We do find out that the Wild Stallions have in fact made it, and I put that in quotations, but not the way we thought. They have some good tunes, apparently, along the way of their journey, but were unable to write that one song that will unite the world and create the future that we saw from the first film. Thus, Bill and Ted lose their focus and begin to create experimental music that does not excite fans nor elicit inspiration onto the world as they thought they would. Though the Wild Stallions break up, Bill and Ted remain best friends, navigating their lives with their wives, the princesses Joanna and Elizabeth, as well as their daughters Thea and Billy. They receive a visit from the future from Rufus's daughter, who was played by George Carlin in the original, whose name is Kelly, who warns them that every plane of existence from the past and the future is starting to meld together, thus prompting Bill and Ted to travel through time to meet their future selves for the key on how to write this legendary song.
Convoluted? Sure, a little bit, but isn't every time travel flick? It all makes sense once you actually watch the film.
Now, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure has been considered by physicists to be the most realistic in terms of time travel, at least in theory. At least until Avengers Endgame came out last year. So while we can't actually time travel, at least that I know of, I'll take much more qualified opinions into the consideration. Anyway, I can already tell I'm starting to ramble, so back on point. Does Bill and Ted elicit the same fun and heart that its two predecessors do? The simple answer is yes, giving us a very fun adventure with two characters that we have grown to love.
Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter have perfected these roles, even if they haven't done them in nearly three decades. It was very fun to see Keanu move back to what some consider his roots, the silly yet endearing goof. He hasn't missed a beat at all, and even though his voice is a little more gruff with age, he still gets down that 80s slacker mentality as if he just did it yesterday. We haven't seen Alex Winter in a while, I know he's off directing some things, but likewise, he is just as memorable and fun. I've always thought of Bill as more of the logical character, while Ted had more of the heart. Their interactions with themselves, as well as their wives, as well as the numerous amounts of future Bill and Ted's that we meet, are all very fun, hilarious, and endearing. Though the film is named after Bill and Ted, I felt while watching the movie that it was leaning more towards Billy and Thea, Bill and Ted's 24-year-old daughters played by Samara Weaving and Bridget Lundy Payne, respectively. These two have everything to prove, and they nailed it. While their dads are off proving their worth to the world, the two girls do the same, traveling back in time to get the world's greatest musicians to help their dads create the greatest song of all time. Along their way, they pick up Jimi Hendrix, Louis Armstrong, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and Ling Lun to very entertaining and questioning results, honestly. But it's the way the two daughters absolutely nail their dads' personas and mannerisms that really make these two worth the screen time. I've gushed enough about Samara Weaving on this podcast, and she did not disappoint me here. But the true revelation, I thought, with the two was Bridget Lundy Payne, who I had to shake my head to make sure I wasn't watching a 24-year-old Keanu Reeves on screen. She looks and acts just like him. It is quite amazing. The rest of the cast rounds out very well. Kristen Schaal as Kelly, who is Rufus's daughter, as I mentioned, is a sweet homage to George Carlin, as well as his real-life daughter, who is named Kelly. It's awesome to see Amy Stoch and Hal Landon back as Missy and Captain Logan as well. Beck Bennett of Saturday Night Live fame is goofy as Deacon, who is Ted's little brother, who actually ends up marrying Missy in this film. So if you've seen the first one, Bill's dad is married to Missy. Second one, Ted's dad is married to Missy. And now Deacon, Ted's little brother, is married to Missy, which creates a lot of problems if you really start to think about it. But again, it's just a joke. You're not supposed to think about it too heavily. There are also some very fun cameos from Dave Grohl and Kid Cudi, the latter of which plays a major part near the end. However, the major standout, I believe, went to David Carradine as Dennis Caleb McCoy, an android sent Terminator style to kill Bill and Ted from the future. His sense of self-awareness and randomness creates some of the film's biggest laughs and most uncomfortable but very funny moments. The film, much like the other two, is naturally funny, but as I've said earlier, I believe the film focuses more on friendship and love than it does trying to get the audience to laugh or cry from laughter. Not everything works in the film, however. It does take a tad bit for everything to start to come together. There are also certain sequences I was wishing I was more with Bill and Ted, and other times I was wishing I was more with Billy and Thea and the musicians they were picking up. There's a subplot with the wives, the two princesses, that is dropped with just one line of expository dialogue. I did think it was funny, however, that they recast the princesses for the third time because the princesses in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure are different from the princesses in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and then now they've got two younger actresses to play them in here as well. I think that's just a really funny thing. Kind of reminds me of like the Bond films where they're going to keep recasting women, or even the Austin Powers movies. Anyway, rambling again. Another thing that sort of stuck out as a little disappointing was the reuniting of William Sadler's death and Bill and Ted. It was sweet, but it could have gone on a tad bit longer. It only lasts about 4 minutes, and the resolution comes way too quickly. There's also some really iffy CGI throughout the entire movie, which is a shame because the original two didn't have any, because in 1989 our CGI limits were absolutely abysmal, and in 1991 it might have had a little bit, but no one was really looking at CGI in films back then. One last thing that kind of got to me before I end the episode is the music in it. So it's called Bill and Ted Face the Music, of course, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bogus Journey are known for their really awesome soundtracks. The first one has more of a metal vibe to it, while the second one has more of a grungy vibe to it. This one had some good tunes. They had a good song from Mastodon, and the Weezer one at the end is pretty decent. But I was left a little disappointed, I guess, by the music that was in it. The final song at the end is actually a lot of fun, but it's not really like a song you're going to be like, oh yeah, that's the song. The whole joke is that the song actually kind of sucks, but this is the thing that unites the world to be excellent to each other, if you will. But don't let these smaller issues get in the way of your enjoyment of the film. As it wrapped up, I started to think about great trilogies. I don't count the original Star Wars trilogy as a trilogy because there are 9, 10, 11, 12 films in that entire saga. Same with like Indiana Jones. There's a fourth film that was tacked on. Toy Story was another one. I'm talking about films that only have three. And sure, maybe we'll get a Bill and Ted 4 along the way. We're getting a John Wick 4, but it hasn't come out yet. So I put Bill and Ted up there with like John Wick. And I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. But just a really awesome trilogy that, while Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure might be the best one and the most historic and nostalgic, the other two are just as fun, an easy way to spend 90 minutes. You could blow through all three of these movies in a 4.5 hour span, and that's pretty amazing. I had a lot of fun with Bill and Ted Face the Music. I was nostalgic. I got to rock out with two dudes that I loved as kids, and I think you will have fun watching it too. So with that said, I'm giving Bill and Ted Face the Music a B+. Now, normally after my episodes, I want to plug the socials, end with the Stay Phenomenal. And I was actually planning on telling you all to be excellent to each other. And please continue to do that, folks, because if you're not excellent to each other as these two goofs in this movie tell you you should be, then you're kind of just an asshole. But again, that's beside the point. Now, I wanted to save In Memoriams for my final episode of the year, which would be like a 2020 year in review. For any entertainer that made an impact on movies, music, art, I would do just an In Memoriam and read off the names. But over the weekend, we lost an actor that was near and dear to a lot of people, not just myself, and that was Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick Boseman died on the 28th of August at age 43 of colon cancer. He kept it private, which is one of the most respectable things you can do. Most people would know Chadwick as his role of T'Challa / the Black Panther in Black Panther, as well as Avengers Infinity War and Endgame and Captain America Civil War. He was also in 21 Bridges, Defy Bloods, which I reviewed earlier. Get On Up as James Brown. He was in a really, really great movie called Marshall, where he played Thurgood Marshall back in, I think, 2016 or 2017. And he played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42. He was an inspiration to a lot of people, and this affected a lot of people heavily. Cancer is a fucking disease, and it sucks, and I'm so sorry this man had to go through all this. Yet he acted in, I'm looking at it right now, at least 7 films while having this disease in his body, and that is to be commended, and that's amazing. But most importantly, it's what Chadwick did for the African American community, because I've grown up as a white male being able to relish in the superheroes that I've been able to see, whether it be Spider-Man or Batman or Iron Man. And sure, Blade came out and those films are fun, but something about his role of Black Panther really had this feeling towards people that I know personally who are African American, who said, that's me, I can see myself there. And that's the first time I've ever heard people be able to say that. And not just that, I mean, he played, like I said, Jackie Robinson in 42 or James Brown in Get On Up. And those two people that he played did the same thing for baseball and music. And sure, he's not actually those people, but he brought them to the screen and brought them to life. So I just want to say rest in peace, Chadwick. Thank you for, you know, 8 good years of films and 43 great years you brought to this earth and your family. We're going to miss you. Please, Marvel, Disney, do not recast T'Challa. Give that role to Shuri so that young Black women can see what young Black men saw a few years ago. I'm going to end this on Wakanda Forever. Thank you.